from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
No joke, yesterday I told you guys during the break, I was driving in and I was like, it would have been great. There's no way we could have pulled it off in time if Drew and I would have done a Juju's back, Juju's back, Juju's back. If we would have done that, because you wouldn't have
expected
it.
Who's going to do the fast rap?
I don't know, Drew.
I've created a monster because nobody wants to see Marsh no more.
Definitely
they want
Drew.
Shady, I'm Chopped Liver.
And because you're banned from a song until September 21st. Mm-hmm. But nope, Cody, Drew,
just
and
as
I
easily,
aren't.
Guess who's back? Cody's back.
Oh, God.
Tell a friend.
Oh, that's scary. Wait, September,
September 21st, baby.
All you need to add is some chicken in
what
there.
What day
as well.
Is that? Oh, that's a Saturday. So he's got to wait till Monday the 23rd. Sorry.
Damn.
Sorry. You got to wait till Monday the 23rd.
Hold on.
Fine.
Do you have access to our social media accounts, Cody?
Me? I do currently.
Mm-hmm. See, this is the thing.
They're trying to kick some of us off.
He's gonna
I'll never be kicked off.
He's gonna post a video on September 21st of him doing a song.
Oh, but the band's on the show, not on social media. If he really wanted to put something on his own social media, he can do that.
Oh no, I mean he would post it to the station. On the station.
The band is just for on air. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, the band is just for on air. Real quick before we get to the AFC West, which seems like a smooth sail and cruise to the end. I know it's the NFL, but it just seems that way, of course. With the Chiefs' dominance tonight, we do have our Guillotine League draft. So if you're in the league, one, the league is full. We appreciate everybody. Tonight, 7:15 is the draft. You can draft online.
Great.
But if you want to bring your laptop in person as well, that was fun last year. Jefferson's, the North Kansas City location, will be hanging out there this evening. Also, if you're not in the draft and you just want to watch the Royals game and hang out a little bit, we'll be at Jefferson's. You can stop by in North KC this evening. And it's going to be a good time. There's some controversy already. Not around me, around you.
Always me.
You ended up with the first pick in the draft.
I didn't choose it. You made the draft order.
Well, I didn't make the
Drew
draft.
Drew watched you make the draft order.
I am
order.
A witness, yes. So
here's the funny thing about this whole thing. I did not make the draft order. I used a randomizer 3 times. And if I would have ended up with the first pick, I never would have heard the end of it. I would have never heard the end
of
it
from you. As
the
person who was making the randomizer, it would have seemed pretty suspect.
I did the 3 randoms, and on the 3rd one, yes, Cody ended up with the first pick in the draft tonight, which is just ridiculous, honestly.
Why is that ridiculous?
Congrats on having Tyree Hill or Christian McCaffrey.
I should be allowed to have the number one pick every once in a while.
That's not how it works. You could get last pick every year for 20 years. There's nothing to prevent that from happening.
How many times have you had the number one pick in a fantasy football draft? Like maybe
twice?
Once?
Maybe,
I don't think I've ever had it. I've had 2 before. I don't know if I'd want the number one pick, though, because...
Hang on. You're guaranteed McCaffrey.
I would rather have, 4, 5, or 6, I think, than number one.
Anyway, real quick, for the 18 of you, real quick, Cody has the first pick, Real McCoy 2nd, Burrow's best, which is Drew 3rd. Deshaun or...
Shocker.
So Drew's 3rd?
Yeah. Deshaun or discharges for Twitch Squad 5, Wes... Cannon Coyotes 6, Rolling with Mahomes 7, Copper Pig KC 8th, I'm 9th, Gum Bucket Gridiron is 10, 11 is Silly Little Freaks, that one's cut off, number 12 Spanky Something, number 13 Meat Beater, 14 is Ridge Chips, 15 Somewhere Over Dwayne Bowe, 18 Tomahawk Tua, 17 It's cut off. Get your Butker in the kitchen, and then Bob and Weave. Those are the fantasy teams from our listeners.
Looking forward to it. You had mentioned the division, though, the AFC West. I think we've all pretty much declared it over because we all think that they play in a bad division. They are the best team, and there are a lot of question marks. But I got asked on a radio interview, and I think it's fair. I got asked, okay, but what are the circumstances in which any of these teams would compete with the Chiefs? So I started kicking it around. I think for the Raiders, it's fairly simple. The Raiders actually have a lot of offensive weapons. They have, some young, talented running backs. They have, good wide receiver. If Gardner Minshew has his Baker Mayfield year, They could get like within three games. Okay, that's as close as the Raiders can get. We can bury them pretty quick.
Baker Mayfield year was in a crappy NFC South where the winner tied with nine wins.
Correct. That's why I said they can only get within three. That's the best case scenario for the Raiders. They finished three games away from the division. The Chargers is easy, right? That Quentin Johnson is actually a lot better in year two. Ladd McConkey is the truth. And Justin Herbert's plantar fascia doesn't bother him the entire time. And then, I don't know, I guess the defense is better than I was expecting. Like, again, like, it takes a bit of a stretch, but Justin Herbert is a good enough quarterback that if there was one team I would entertain this year, it is still them.
I guess. I mean, I just think that roster is super thin. They needed to gut it, and they did. They got some of the younger, the older players out of there. This is a rebuild year, in my opinion, for Harbaugh. Next year, then I think the Chargers become a threat again. I don't think they're a threat at all this year. You're saying, like, what does it look like? Yeah, my issue is, like, I just don't believe, like, Ladd McConkey could be hurt throughout the season himself. Herbert, who knows, with the plantar fascia. And then Quentin Johnston, who I was really high on a year ago. We'll see what he is in year two. This may surprise you. You can do exact division or standings in order of finish. You know, you can do that FanDuel or whatever.
And how would you do it?
Like, the Chiefs won, but it would, if you're, I don't know what the odds are to get some more money. It would not surprise me if the Chargers are actually the team, Cody, that end up finishing in last place in the AFC West.
Wow. You think that, like,
I'm
serious. Comedy thing.
If Herbert doesn't play very much this season because of the injury, Gardner Minshew's capable of winning random games he has no business winning. And I told
you,
I think the Raiders are winning against the Chargers in week one as well. If you're just from a value and odds perspective, I could see order of finish would get Chiefs one. You know, pick the Broncos 2 or Raiders 3 and Chargers finish dead last in this division.
If Herbert's healthy, though, do you think the Chargers
if Herbert's
potentially
healthy, they don't finish dead last, but it'll be close.
Okay.
But here's the thing. The gap between last and second, it might be 6 wins to 8 wins. I don't think anybody else in the AFC West is getting to 9
digits.
Wins. I think 8 wins is the peak after Kansas City. I think the Broncos and Raiders both could be an 8-win, 7-win
team.
So
the truth is, you don't think that there's a scenario barring Mahomes going down.
Correct.
Like, it would have to be something Chiefs related in order for one of these teams to compete in the division.
Like, you just went through a coach.
I just think it's a stretch. I think it'd be like Bo Nix would have to end up being CJ Stroud. Okay.
Well, in that scenario,
their defense probably still isn't good enough, but still.
And they don't have the weapons that Houston has either.
No. Yeah. He'd be throwing it to Cortland Sutton and then a bag of rocks.
The Texans did not have a team like the Chiefs in their division last year. That's the other problem. The Jags were disappointing. The Colts, Anthony Richardson got hurt. The Titans stunk. Like,
is there any other division in football that you feel this way? Where there's just no hypothetical in which you can...
Probably not,
you know, just be like, there's no... Because, like, I could see a way in which the 49ers fall short.
Correct.
Because there's other good teams in the division. The Rams get the division. Dolphins, Bills, we know that that one's open. We know that the South is open.
The Chiefs are in the easiest division in football. Yeah. And they're a big reason why. Like, they're making it easy because they've been so dominant, right? Let me be clear on that. Like, the Chiefs have to factor into this equation, too. It's not just that these other teams are disappointing, but the Chiefs have made it feel this way. They have won it, 8 years? Are we up to 8 now?
Yeah.
8 years in a row. I mean, that is not just the division not being good. It is also your own dominance. The same way we talked about the Patriots in the AFC East. Yeah, their division stunk for a bulk of it, the quarterbacks that were in it, but Tom Brady and the Patriots were also that damn good.
Yeah, they kept you underneath them. But they never... Justin Herbert's the best quarterback that they ever had in the division with Tom Brady until Josh Allen eventually was there.
Sure.
Like, I mean, there wasn't a quarterback...
Mark Sanchez and
Jay Fiedler and Chad Pennington all those years. They weren't going up against any kind of realistic...
Cleo Lemon and whatever his name was in Miami.
Cleo Lemon, he was in Miami briefly.
Gosh.
It was a pretty bleak turn of quarterbacks. And J.P. Lossman and Tyrod Taylor and a million others that filtered through those organizations against him. But that's what
one
it looks
of the best
like.
Backup quarterbacks ever,
Tyrod. That's
Taylor.
What it looks like in the AFC West right now. Right now, it is Bo Nix, a 29-year-old rookie quarterback.
Oh, 29.
Okay. He's not okay.
Gardner Minshew.
Jeez.
Oh, my goodness.
How old is he really? 24?
He's 24. He turns 25 in February.
If he gets to the Super Bowl, who?
That's not happening either.
It's a bit of an age discrepancy between the two.
How old is Gardner Minshew? Like 20, 28, 29?
He's in his 20s still?
I think so.
No.
He just looks older.
Yeah. I think he's like 28.
He's in his 20s still?
He's as old as I am.
He just looks older.
Yeah, you guys look like you grew up in different generations. Not just like you guys are the same age. They legitimately, Drew and Gardner Minshew look like they're 10 years apart.
I mean, we've said this. Drew could pass for like a 19, 20 year old if he had to. Like if he was wearing the right clothes and he was in the right setting, you'd be like, oh, he kind of still fits. Gardner Minshew, it's the facial hair, the mustache.
I think maybe we were talking about division. If there's any other division like it, maybe the NFC South, where Atlanta's just so good or is too good now. I know that it's the Falcons, but just collectively getting Kirk Cousins and the group that they have, there's nobody that's beating them. I mean, the Saints aren't good enough. The Buccaneers aren't.
But the AFC West and then NFC South are the two worst divisions in football. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Someone says Minshew's been 35 his whole professional life.
Just like he's permanently 35. It's like the opposite of the Paul Rudd thing. He doesn't age. He aged to 35, but maybe he'll just stay there forever. I'm stunned. Stunned. He's only 28 years old. He also feels like he's just been in the league longer than that.
There's guys who are that age that still play in college, actually.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. JJ Piccolo had something really interesting to say about Daniel Lynch. You asked him about Daniel Lynch and did we finally find the role? 2 2/3 yesterday, shutout innings, saved the bullpen some innings, didn't let the game ever get close enough that you had to use Bubic or had to use Urseg. You didn't need anybody good out of your bullpen. Lynch ate up those innings. When you ask him about it, he's like, that was maybe the most encouraging thing out of all of it yesterday. You could hear it in JJ Piccolo's voice when he joined the show about an hour ago, how excited he was about the possibility with Lynch. This just has me thinking, like, what took so long? For weeks, I have thought it is enough time with it, and you got to start looking in AAA to just find out if they can get an out instead of the guys who are actively doing it. I think Josh Vernier was right yesterday on his pregame show. He suggested that Will Smith probably has this injury that he's going on the IL for, and it probably is something that has bothered him for a long time. But he finally swallowed some pride and said, I'm not getting anybody out. I got to make some room on this roster, at least for a little bit, or they might cut me.
Yeah, no,
I might not be on
left,
this roster, because if I don't go on the IL, where am I going to go? Daniel Lynch was one of the most encouraging things out of that entire game yesterday. And I know I'm a Daniel Lynch believer, or was. I have this year told you I had stopped like counting on that. What he did yesterday gives me some hope that there's a role in the bullpen.
That was great to see. It definitely was. And what, you know, I think the next question, of course, like anything, is because of prior track record. All right, what's the next appearance look like? You know, that's the next step for him, is putting together back-to-back outings. But this year, knowing all the bullpen issues that the Royals have had outside of Lucas Urseg, basically, and occasionally a little stretch of another player or two, you know, there's nobody else that they've been able to fully rely on. If he's another guy you can throw in the mix, and especially if you think, and look, we're a month away from having to worry about playoff rosters and how many pitchers and all this kind of stuff, but ultimately, you know, who can help you? Who do they trust at that given time?
And he has a chance to
Daniel
earn that
Lynch
in a month.
Over the next month has a chance to prove that he's someone that they can trust and can be valuable. That's the opportunity he has to contribute to this year's team. If he wants to stay in the big leagues, that's where it's going to have to be right now for this team. And I think ultimately it may end up being, you know, a great thing for his career. I understand.
Worked out for Wade Davis and others.
When you were drafted and starting pitching and that he started for this team this year, we all know that, but that could end up being something that's actually really good for his career if he can find a role here than the final 30 plus days of the regular season.
You know, part of it is like, I'm ready for Jonathan Bolin instead of Chris Stratton. All I'm saying is cut the weight who hasn't gotten an out in 2 months. Like, there's a couple of guys in this bullpen gold that have not gotten a productive out in weeks for this roster. And if there's other guys, I don't care if it's Champlain or if it's Jonathan Bolin, and maybe you want to wait a year on Christian Champlain, that's fine. But, you know, there are other guys in here that I was never counting on Daniel Lynch helping this team. But I'd gotten to the point of I was ready to see some of these other guys, including him, because the rest of the bullpen was struggling so much, I didn't feel like it was going to get worse. It seemed unlikely it could get worse. He was like, MJ, he's been doing some stuff where, like, he just shows up in a hero moment a couple times a year for this team. It's great. Bobby, Salvi, things we know. Cole, things we know. Daniel Lynch was he didn't make the starting rotation. They gave him a little taste of it early in the season. It went horribly. They just punted him down to AAA, where he was a full-time starter and a really effective one. And you're like, okay. But they've never actively tried him in the bullpen. Not like Chris Bubic, where to protect his innings, he was just a starter. And then they put him in the bullpen, and instead of throwing 91, which he was doing the last time he was in the bigs, he was throwing 94. 95 from the left side, and with that height, like, it it is not a stretch to be like, well, that works better. And they're only going to see him for six outs, nine outs. Well, now it really works. He doesn't have to see anyone the second or third time through, right? No. Okay. The one thing they've never had in their bullpen this entire year is a long reliever. Like, not just an innings eating, screw everything up. Like, for when Cole Reagans was going to be in trouble last night and he was going to be out in the fifth inning because of pitch count. Sometimes you need somebody to cover two or three innings before you get to Urseg.
In fairness,
maybe he can be that.
And in fairness, though, they haven't utilized that partially because, you know, Seth Lugo is going to finish with the most innings pitched in the big leagues this year. And Cole Reagans is, you know, trending. So some of it has been the starting pitching was so good. They were getting long, extended quality starts. And at one point, very early in the season, before he ultimately was placed on, non-baseball or injury list or whatever, Jordan Lyles, and then ultimately cut from the team a month or whatever ago. Like, he was going to be their long wash, you know, basically wash-up duty at that point, right?
Yes. But, I mean, Lynch, you could use...
Mop-up duty, yeah.
I'm not calling him this, so I guess just relax a little bit. But if it works, you can use him more in the, like, Andrew Miller role, where it's the fourth, you don't want to expose Michael Lorenzen in a September 10th game to the third time through the order. He's given up a run. Why can't he go two to get you to the bullpen? Why can't the combination of him and Marsh get you somewhere, or him and Lorenzen, or let's say you are trying to cut down on Lugo's, you know, he gets his pitch count up a little bit in a game. Why can't Lynch come in twice a week as a bridge guy and help smooth those things over? One game. I'm not saying it has to be that way.
But let's see.
But
what
like,
happens.
That was one of the most encouraging things I've seen out of Daniel Lynch in a long time.
No question. Let's see what the next appearance looks like for him if he can put back to back outings together. Someone was asking on the Jay Southland Tozer's text line here on 96.5 The Fan 913-586-7965. Hey, what's the story with Reagans? Well, we got good news after the game yesterday, but also you heard from JJ Piccolo earlier. We asked him about, hey, was it really just cramps? And he's like, yeah, he was dealing with cramps, hot weather, humidity in Cleveland before the game even started and throughout. So, of course, immediately you see Salvi point and you're like, oh boy, you're thinking.
I was scared.
You're thinking elbow arm. And then when you found out it wasn't elbow arm, you're like, okay, that's better. But then you still hear cramp. You're worried that, oh man, was it actually a hamstring strain?
Start.
And he's just cramping. He's going to be fine.
JJ said it pretty much was happening the entire game and then eventually couldn't get rid of it.
Basically, he's like, yeah, he's going to have to hydrate better.
Also, that explains this start. It can't explain the previous one, but this one, you're like, hey, he's got no control. He's like, okay, so he just had cramps the entire... I mean, that would probably
explain. That's based off of what we were told, that's what it sounds like also might have impacted yesterday's performance for sure.
There's no reason at this point, I think, to like cover for Cole Reagans. I think you would do that for a pitcher who is struggling or has struggled the entire season. That's not been Cole Reagans. He's been excellent this entire season. You don't have to cover for him because he had one start in which he didn't have command. I think he had cramp-related issues in the game. Couldn't shake him, got him out of the game early, and ideally he'll be back 4 days from now.
Trash of the day.
All right, which direction do you want me to head for trash of the day? I'll give you a brief.
Ooh, choices.
One has to do with a helicopter and a missing child.
Well, that's a good start.
The other one has to do with a bald eagle, or a bird, I'm sorry.
I think I know where you're going with the bird, but let's do the bird. For me, I'll vote bird.
My vote would be for the baby in the helicopter.
Flip a coin then.
All right, let's go with the, we'll end up doing these later in the week.
So you get the final vote. There's three of us.
I'll go with the child and the helicopter. So in New York, a TV news helicopter was flying around, poured on traffic, etc.
Okay.
And they noticed something. And that's because earlier in the day, a child was reported missing. Very serious thing. TV news helicopter spotted this same child on the roof of a building. 9-year-old boy leaves his Brooklyn apartment at around 7 a.m. did not show up to school. The boy's parents, of course, called police, who put out a description of the missing child, including the orange tie he was wearing.
Okay.
So then CBS station sent a helicopter to the scene. And then the reporter said, wait a second, what's over there? On the rooftop of his same family, his building. So they were living in an apartment or condo.
Sure.
And they were circling the building. They came across a person sitting in a chair on the rooftop. They zoomed in with their camera, and it appeared to be the child that fit the description. They called the police. Helicopter crew hovered overhead until they arrived. After that, the kid packed up his computer, his book bag, and walked away with police officers. Turns out, the kid was playing hooky.
Oh, man. Dude, a police helicopter finding you on the roof?
A news helicopter, but the police were searching for
him. Just because you're trying to skip school? Ugh, that's tough. Look, I've skipped school.
Did you ever play hooky on the roof of a... Like, we've all skipped school before, but did you ever... I mean, like, in New York, it's a city, it's different. Your apartment complex versus your house. Like, you're not going on the roof of your house. But, like, he's like, oh, I'm just not going to go to school today. I'm just going to chill on the roof all day while people are looking for me.
So I've definitely skipped school. And that would seem like a relatively safe location, honestly. But, God, to get caught by a news helicopter.
Bad luck.
Like, that's just bad luck. Do you know how many kids in New York City must skip school on a daily basis?
His parents called the police, and they were searching.
Damn.
And the helicopter for the police weren't putting a helicopter resource up to search.
How'd they find out he missed school that fast?
It's a good question.
They probably got a phone call from
the school, and they're like, no.
You get a call from the school if your kid's gone for one day?
Yeah. If it's not an excused absence.
Hey, by the way, this person is out. Why is it? And then the parent says,
nine years old, too. It's not like a 15-year-old. It was a 9-year-old kid. And I'm sure the parents were scared to death because they're like, no, we know he walked to school. He didn't show up. Like, that would scare the hell out of you if that was your kid. And so I'm sure they panicked and
what was your
police.
Parents' philosophy? If you didn't want to go to school a day in high school, were you allowed to stay home?
It happened a few times. Yeah, I definitely was. But it was few and far between. But for sure, there was always that. We've all been there. That one morning, you're like, I'm just not getting up today.
Yeah, the problem with...
I've called in girlfriends sick to school pretending to be their parent. I've done all kinds of... I'm just a terrible student.
I guess it's not surprising. I thought you were going to say...
No. At first, he was like, yeah, that tracks.
When you first said something, Cody, I thought you were going to say... That's like getting on top of the roof is something that you would do. Like,
I've been on top of some roofs.
In order to skip school.
I don't want to talk about that.
Jeez.
Is this
the same
as
the park incident?
Park incident?
On the roof as well? You did it on the roof?
Oh my gosh.
Not important.
That feels dangerous, actually. That feels like that could be tricky.
Yeah.
That's the same as a floor. It's not, you know.
The roof.
Very tricky.
The roof is slanted. There could be nails up there.
This was a flat roof.
Flat. Mm-hmm. Asphalt, that's hot. It'd burn your ass.
What do you think? You don't come with like a blanket or something? You don't come just unprepared for these things.
It was difficult.
You're not getting onto a roof being like, well, maybe. No, this is a plan. This is a planned action.
How many times did you have sex on the roof?
In my life?
Sure.
I don't know. Once.
Oh, I don't know. Once.
You know.
I wasn't able to skip school like that because there was a... I don't know if that's rule here or not, but if you're an athlete, you cannot miss more than half the day of school.
Otherwise,
you can't. Like, if it's a game day and you miss half the day, you...
Gotcha. But you could miss a Tuesday, right?
Sure, but... Yeah. There was one day that my brother and I overslept, and it was my senior year of high school. Drove, and the teacher was chewing me out. They're like, Drew, I'm really disappointed in you that you would miss my class. Like, look, dude, I didn't mean to. I overslept.
They're not buying that at all. Relax. Come on.
It's never that. I'm really disappointed. It's not that deep.
Every kid was in my class yesterday.
Oh, that's good.
Well, they're in college, so it's a little bit.
Everyone was there. The first day, they weren't all there.
Okay.
Everyone showed up.
We'll get an update on that maybe later on this week. How week two of Professor Bancroft Tap is going. Up next, though, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. There's a deadline a little bit later on this afternoon. Who's actually getting that phone call or that message to go to the office, if you will? That's next.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Calling all KC football fans to Vegas. Join us at Circa Resort and Casino this October as we huddle up at Overhang Bar, catching some of the game day action at the world's largest sportsbook or lounge at Stadium Swim. Book your experience today. Visit CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up at 1 o'clock today, we'll check in with our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Get his thoughts on something we're going to talk about right now, which is cutdown day in the NFL. Obviously, a tough day for those that have been working their ass off throughout training camp. Some of these guys have been cut already for the weekend. A lot of them, let's just be honest, when you have 90-plus guys at camp, a lot of them you kind of already know they weren't going to make the team. But by 2 o'clock today, we're going to find out if it is going to play out the way we think it does or not with the wide receivers. Let's be honest. That's maybe one other area. Is there any other spot on the team that you're actually curious about for cut down deadline? Like, it is wide receiver, and even then, we're still talking about like the sixth or seventh wide receivers. There's maybe you wonder what the running back depth chart looks like or something. But other than that, there's not much.
That might be it.
Other
LRZ
area where he's gonna be practice squad. I feel like.
Yeah, that's a lock.
So like, there's
or
not
mystery
a,
IR.
Is there a surprise? Do you think we're in for any sort of surprise? And what would actually fit as a surprise? Because Tony getting cut's not a surprise anymore. If he gets cut,
LRZ couldn't even keep his number, man.
He's definitely going.
I wonder if McColl. I think if McColl got cut, I think that'd be a little bit of a surprise.
Agreed.
So from the wide receiver in, McColl would be the surprise one, or Tony Stang. I think they both land in there. But one thing's happened today that at least piques my interest in what they might do. Just today, two former first-round corners from 2021 and 2022 have been cut by their respective teams. So the Titans cut Caleb Farley, the former first-round pick at corner, and then the Texans cut their former first-round pick from 2022 at corner. And you're like, I mean, I'm not interested based on the fact that cornerback two is decidedly not finished. Remember Joseph, who was a part of that conversation early on, he's been cut. So they've at least narrowed it down to the guys we thought it had been narrowed down to, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, and of course, Nazee Johnson. The only thing that would surprise me is like maybe they try to mystery stash Nazee or somebody who's been injured, and then they go after one of these other corners who are on the street. Other than that, I think it's just down to wide receiver. And I'm just going to say this maybe for wishful thinking. I assume the wide receivers we listed yesterday are the one they are, and that Kadarius Toney's not on this team anymore. Justin Ross is headed for the practice squad, and that McCole Hardman and Sky Moore, and then obviously the most recent addition of Juju Smith-Schuster will all be on there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think, if you're looking at the moves, what I think is going to happen. The surprise to Drew's point would be if somebody like McColl got cut, but I would be surprised because I think with them not utilizing Xavier Worthy on punt returns because of the health of Hollywood Brown and trying to make sure they protect Worthy a little bit, I think that's where McColl is really valuable to them right now. Let's remember, when we're talking about that far down the depth chart, whether you're wide receiver 4, 5, 6, 7, it doesn't really matter. You got to play special teams. And if you're not, you can only have like one or two of those guys. You can't have your fifth, your sixth, and your seventh receiver not contribute on special teams. So the numbers just don't work out. And that's where Justin Ross is in trouble and why I think ultimately he ends up on the practice squad. You know, there's certain players that can contribute on special teams, and there's some that aren't. If you're going to be a depth wide receiver, it's really tough to make a team if you can't contribute there. McCole Harmon's a depth wide receiver, plus Mahomes trusts him, but he can help on special teams. That's why I think McColl is safe, you know? And that's where the wide receiver room at the back end, I think, now has some clarity to it. And yes, Kadarius Toney still making the team would be a pretty surprising thing.
I'll be borderline inconsolable. I'll be depressed tomorrow on this show if we got to be like, well, Tony's back. Like, but why? Yeah, why?
I don't think you have anything to worry about.
It's enough of the hopes and dreams of what could have been on some players, and instead the reality of what they are.
I guess more of a like stunner would be if for whatever reason they felt the need to get to move on from Felix already.
They're not.
I don't think that's happening. No, but
they're not moving on.
We're talking about guys from 21
pick.
And 22 getting cut. I'm just saying. That would be a stunner.
Well, of course, yeah, it would be a stunner. But I mean, that if we're going to start doing that, then I can list. I mean, there's
like
a lot.
I just want to like list off random people who won't get cut.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. And there's no chance where Felix does that. The running back position's the other area. What do they do with Clyde? Because we know Pacheco's the one.
I think he's going to be on the roster.
Clyde and Carson Steele. That would be my prediction. But does Clyde eventually go on the NFI list? I mean, if he got cut, it would be surprising because I think you could just NFI him and see what happens with his off the field situation. But what do they do there? Like, do they feel good enough about just having three, but potentially only two running backs on a weekly basis at times because of Clyde?
I think that they'll start the season that way, thinking that maybe the off season things do not equate to the regular season. And honestly, for the most part, what he's dealing with now has not been something that's come up in the regular season a lot. So it kind of makes you feel like, I mean, maybe they've managed it better in the regular
season.
That
we know of. I mean, there were times where he was out doing an illness and maybe he wasn't ready at that time to share his story.
That's true. And that very well could be the case. And I'm not going to deny that. But I still think it's going to be Clyde and Pacheco and Carson Steele. I just think the difference I have now is I think Carson Steele's a two and Clyde's the three. Like, Clyde, that makes it sound less risky, right? Like, if I tell you the third running back on the roster who you're counting on may not be available four times this year due to illness, okay. Then Denarik Prince can step in for those four times. But if it's the inverse, then you feel a lot less comfortable with it.
And let's remember, too, there's the initial cut, and, oh, you celebrate, you made the 53, and then the next day they might cut you because of other teams that cut players. And that's where the running back spot could be interesting, whether it's a trade or not. Like Samaje Perine in Denver, there's reports that he's going to get traded. I obviously be very interested in him in Kansas City, receiving back, plenty of experience.
That's because they like Jaleel McLaughlin, I guess?
Yeah, a lot. And I don't know if Denver would trade in division, even though it's happened.
For a backup running back?
I think that would be an exception. It's like, so there is somebody like him or others that are available. Does that change their thinking on Denarik Prince, on a Clyde and where they could place him? So just because somebody does or doesn't get cut at 2 o'clock this afternoon doesn't mean they're safe until they really get to next week. That's usually how this goes.
So this is tight end. I know that.
I think it's four.
There have been predictions out there that say Irv Smith could make the roster as like the fourth tight end.
If they feel the necessity to keep four, then obviously Irv Smith's making the team. I mean, it's that simple.
By the way, speaking of Luis Riis-Zamet, multiple people saying they have not seen him at practice today. He's having a back issue. He's going straight to the IR, baby. That's the sneak.
A week and a half ago.
Then he'll go to the practice.
Was it a week ago? He missed one practice due to a back. We joked and we're like, or the last day of camp or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, huh.
Oh, it's flaring up again. Right when you got to make a roster decision, huh?
Ooh, I don't think he practiced yesterday.
And we don't want to lose him. Maybe some other team. The problem is like, are you going to really lose him though? Moving into the practice squad, is some other team putting him on their active roster?
No, but it's even less like you lose him if it's week two. You put him on the practice squad, and just don't risk it. I guess.
But you know what I'm saying?
He's an interesting athlete. He's just not ready to play NFL football right now.
He's a project. That's for sure. Next year at camp, maybe there's a drastic improvement from learning how to play American football, basically.
We'll keep an eye on all of them, obviously. The Panthers just released, according to multiple reports, wide receiver Terrence Marshall. He was a second-round pick like 2 years ago? I mean, wasn't that long ago he was taken, was it?
It's interesting.
By the way, wasn't it just yesterday, Drew, you told me that teams don't just give up on second-round picks? Who the hell was trying to tell me that yesterday? Was that you?
No, I was saying that as well.
I don't know if I said that.
Like two second-round picks a year after they were drafted cut today.
That was the conversation around Sky.
Yeah. I was like, teams give up on second-round picks all the time.
Do the Chiefs do that? That was the thing I think.
Did it with other teams? They gave up on a third-round pick once. They gave up on Kavar Russell.
It was in the context of Sky Moore yesterday. Why I thought he was going to make the team, because for someone that has had no off-the-field issues, for somebody that's been a good teammate, I don't think heading into year three they were just going to cut him. And I said, and I still stand by it, I don't think that happens very often. My internet is not working presently, so I was trying to pull up the exact details on Terrence Marshall anyway.
I mean, if they were going to get rid of Sky, then they would have drafted another wide receiver. Like, I think it goes all the way back to the draft.
I thought he was a second-round pick, but I could be wrong. He might have been later in the draft.
I think Sky was... Terrence Marshall. He might have been
second. He was a second-round pick, 59, at LSU basically in 2021, so 2 years. Or three. Yeah, three.
So three. Yeah, that's
extra year helps.
Like, Sky could get cut next year.
But a second-round pick who was there a year. Like, the Bengals, again, cut a second-round pick today.
Yeah.
Who was a second-rounder last season. But, again, you got to be not just... Sky at least has shown some level of productivity in special teams and return games. He's caught a few passes. You got to just stink. Like, I mean, stink out loud to be a team... Like, to be a player on a team that doesn't make it past year one. Now, but Sky, we got two full years, right? So it's getting closer to that, like,
next year's a different conversation heading into camp. But after 2 years, the teams really just don't do that. You gave me one example. I'm not saying, like, literally it's never happened on the face of the earth.
I think it happens once a year. Like, it doesn't have to be the Chiefs, but I think once a year somebody cuts some former second-round pick from inside of 2 years. I bet every year I could find an example.
I wonder if there's,
I'd be surprised if I couldn't.
I don't know. I'm not that there's an excuse for Terrence Marshall, but the quarterback play has been so terrible there. It's like, how am I supposed to look good? You know, I know that Bryce Young struggled a lot last year, but I mean, I don't even know who they had before that. Andy Dalton or whoever throwing him the ball.
Sam Darnold.
How am I supposed to look good in that case?
Yeah. I mean,
when you're drafted into that scenario,
it's very fair, but you know, sometimes it works out.
Cody stopped using our show funds to pay for our Wi-Fi, so I have no internet currently, unfortunately.
The internet in this building stinks.
Let's just call it like it is.
It stinks.
It's terrible.
When I send, like, I'll be honest, the people over on the other side of the building are incredibly helpful over in IT. So every time we ask them to help with stuff, they help immediately. But they always seem confused by the fact that apparently we are the only people with internet issues.
I don't know why.
Like, it's just us in this studio, or nobody else is ever reporting when they have
just
the
like
issue.
That. We're back up.
It's like it's decided that it can only work on two computers at one time.
It's like it buffers.
Weird. You know?
Either way, you're back, so you can
the
look
fact
up.
That you're back, I'm
hey,
probably
tell me what you find on
now.
Terrence Marshall.
Doesn't matter. Too late now.
Now that we've looked it up. Let me know what you dig into Terrence Marshall there. It's I'd be surprised if it weren't for that. And then yesterday, of course, the Chiefs made a trade. They trade for Cam Thomas for a 7th-round pick, 3rd-rounder from 2 years ago, a guy that Jay Binkley, important to note, Jay Binkley had on his draft board. But Cam Thomas, they did actually need edge depth. This is a safe play for them in the, if he really is a better scheme fit, maybe he's just another good Turk Wharton-like rotational defensive lineman who's good for 2 to 3 sacks a year if he's on the field with a little bit more upside because of where he was taken and the possibility that he'll fit better with your roster than not. I still think that it doesn't mean great things for how quickly they're expecting to get Minshew back, who is officially on the PUP list, by the way. And it doesn't speak great to the depth that they already have, because this is not a vastly different defensive lineman than what they started last season with. I mean, he was on the IR. He was suspended, right? He wasn't available to play the first few games of the season. They still had Dana and Turk and Karloftis and Chris Jones. I do think that this says that they're trying not to assume Karloftis has one extra huge leap in him, or they think they're going to have to protect Chris Jones more in the regular season.
I think they're about protecting Karloftis and Chris Jones from a health standpoint with the snaps. You know that this team is going to the playoffs every year, going on deep runs, going to AFC title games, hopefully Super Bowl again. And so you're talking about a ton of snaps. You do not want to wear those guys out, and you need to have a good rotation. You can never have too much defensive line depth. So I view it as that. I think Cam Thomas, to your point, fits in Kansas City better than he did in Arizona. But let's just be reasonable with the expectation.
He's got 3 career sacks.
You know, he has 3 career sacks. He's former 3rd-round pick that after 2 years, they're trading away for a conditional 7th. So you can tell me scheme fit. I think there's truth to that. But also, they're trading him for a 7th-round pick. He can't be that great of a player. I think the team got better, though, by trading for Cam Thomas. They're deeper. It's someone that can contribute and probably have better success playing inside than outside, which the Chiefs are fine with doing. Spags likes to do that when it comes to some of those defensive linemen. So they got deeper. It probably does say something a little bit about Felix. I don't think it's just an automatic, oh my gosh, Felix will never be on the field because of Cam Thomas, but they wanted
but
to have some
speak
more
much in his confidence.
Yeah, they wanted to have more depth there. There's no question about that.
I guess that's really what it is like, if you thought they had, like, if I told you, hey, someone inside the Chiefs is telling me they love what they're going to get out of Felix this year. They're really confident he's going to grow a lot as a player this year. Do they make this move? And the answer is no. Like, if they had extreme confidence in FAU's development this year, the answer would be no. They wouldn't be going down this Cam Thomas reign. We know how this usually works. They probably also had Cam Thomas on their list. He went a little higher than they were willing to go on him. And now he's available for a 7th-round pick and provides you defensive line flexibility.
So I'm saying they got better.
Perfect. It's that same juju percentage.
Correct.
Congratulations. You got 0.25% better. That's better than you were yesterday. I'm not going to complain about that difference. The Chiefs won their final game of the year in overtime. It took to the last damn play of the last second of overtime in order to get past it. 0.25% is not nothing.
Yeah,
0.25% could be the difference between you winning a game or losing a game, winning a division, not winning a division. Sometimes it works down that way.
Yeah, I don't think we should read too much into this trade, though. Like, I mean, we are still talking about a guy that just got traded for a 7th-round pick.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
he is going to be after Mike Dana, and you know, I mean, like, we're talking still third level of the rotation here.
Did the Chiefs, like, I guess the one thing that still confuses me, and this is obviously the consensus, and I'm not actively watching practice the way some of the beat reporters will, and we'll talk to Nate Taylor coming up at 1:00, so I can ask him. The part that confuses me is, on paper, this is not a different group. It just isn't. Felix, Dana, Neil Farrell, these were all on the team last year. I have not listed a person who wasn't on the team last year. Malik Herring, Karloftis, Dickerson, Chris Jones. Again, haven't listed a player who was not on the team last year. Truman Jones, there you go. I give you one.
Or B.J. Thompson. I know he plays linebacker.
Or B.J. Thompson. He was hurt, but he was at least... He was on the roster last year. He was just, like, unavailable, I believe. Because he was drafted by them in the fourth round out of...
Fifth round, yeah.
Sam, whatever it is. Pennell, yeah,
he played with one
Turk,
regular season game.
Naughty. Yeah. Their problem is they have plenty of defensive tackles. They are really thin at defensive end. And the reason why they're thin at defensive end is I don't think Felix can cover the number of snaps they need him to. I don't think he can cover the amount Dana will or cover the amount George will. He can't play 40% of the snaps right now, 50% of the snaps.
If he could,
they wouldn't have gone after Cam Thomas.
I think that's part of the equation. I don't think it is solely an indictment on Felix. I think it's part of it. It's also an insurance policy if Charles Omeniu doesn't come back from the injury the way they think.
Sure.
Because that
is a guy they had last year, and he was going to come back healthy last year.
A lot of it is that. I mean, Charles Omeniu was great last year, but unfortunately had the ACL injury. It might be end of October, early November before he's back. And I know you're saying he missed time last year. He did. But also, right when he came back, he was great.
He was healthy.
If it takes him longer, because this time we're talking about coming back from an ACL. Last time he was coming back from suspension, he was fully healthy. Mm-hmm. This is a health. There's a physical issue here that could cause him not to be the same player.
He might come back 2 weeks later, but he might be a month later until he's successful or 6 weeks later.
It's an insurance policy. They got a little bit better. It's all good. Nobody should not like the move. I mean, there's no reason not to.
This is the same thing with the Juju one. You and I are not, like, skipping to the bank happy that the Chiefs have now secured their third straight Super Bowl by bringing in Juju Smith-Schuster or Cam Thomas, but I'm not disappointed in it.
Bink's been texting me throughout the show. Bink might have a Cam Thomas jersey that we need. He might be wearing it now. Bink is fired up. Bink is fired up for this trade.
What does he think?
It's all scheme fit related. He thinks he's going to be a much different player.
He thought Cam Thomas was a really good player who's been robbed by his scheme fit.
Right. And a lot of it.
That does happen in the NFL.
Bink picked him to go to the Chiefs back 2 years ago. That's a lot of this, too. That was his guy. That was his guy that year. So he's a believer.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you for a minute. If you think I've ever seen a single second of Cam Thomas play football, I haven't. I mean, unless I accidentally saw him play for the Cardinals for a minute. If you think I watched a single San Diego State football game.
I'm an SEC Big 12 purist.
And then, some of the Big 10 games that are like cool.
Well, now I'm sold. Bink just texted me.
No.
He said he was a college teammate of Matt Araiza. Well, now...
They both went to San Diego State. What took so long to say that?
Now I'm all the way in.
Yeah.
Cam Thomas is getting a song now. September 23rd. That's when we decided we'll be back from the Monday. Not that I'm counting the days or anything.
No, you're not at all.
He was a college teammate of Matt Araiza.
That's right. According to Bink. That's, by the way, Bink's filling in for us on Friday.
If you do a song on Cam Thomas, you need to have Bink featured in the song somehow.
Yeah. Binkley would absolutely be in it. I don't know what kind of music does Binkley listen to. I'm going to guess rock.
Country or rock? Both. Rock. Yeah, definitely a little rock.
I bet he listened to a lot of like AC/DC and Metallica in his days. Come on, man.
Someone wants to make a bet with you about Felix. On the text line.
What is it?
913-586-7965. They said, I'm willing to bet Cody that FAU has a better season than he thinks. Yeah, but we need something to, we need.
What would you like to bet? And what would you like that to look like statistically? Yeah, because that's the only way we could technically bet.
I don't know if this is, someone says, I watch King Felix single-handedly wreck defenses. I'm guessing this is a K-State fan.
Probably. I'm willing to take bets on it. Again,
you should.
Alex gets to hold the money in escrow. You got to put the money up front.
You should bet.
No honor system with listeners.
This person should bet the other person on the text line who was saying they watched FAU at K-State and he did absolutely nothing while Cam Thomas was wrecking defenses.
Cody is correct. Unfortunately, when it comes to these bets, it's very easy. If Cody loses the bet, he 100% has to
pay. I'm on the air. I have to
pay. It's very easy for someone to disappear from the text line. So unless you want to either get something in escrow or you give us permission to have your phone number that we will mention on the air for a very long time.
You legally allow us to give out your phone number to people to text you until you pay the bet. Like, some of you are probably good for it.
Intrusive.
That person getting blown up. Oh, my goodness. I can only imagine
But there's a history of people saying, I'll bet you $1,000. And you're like,
you're never paying. Ooh. Some of you would. I understand.
Some of you absolutely would.
But there's also a lot
of
people.
It's 50-50. I'm not taking that chance.
Cody's not doing that.
I have to pay. And yeah, I need to know what you mean.
What's a better season than you think?
Like 6.5 sacks, 7? Like what do we, like.
What?
Than I think? Than the consensus thinks?
How many sacks did he have last year?
3? 2? I don't know. Something like that.
I know who this is. This guy will pay up. It's Cam.
Oh,
it's
Cam.
He's good for it. He's good for it.
Shout out to Cam.
Cam's good for it. I know exactly who that is.
Still got the Justin Smith jersey probably.
Again, if we've had an interaction, and I've met you, it's a slightly different conversation.
Someone says it's simple.
I'm sorry, he had a half of a sack.
Someone says it's simple. FAU, someone is saying, is the Chiefs equivalent to Bubba Starling.
Oh, come on. I didn't say that.
It's too early.
Don't put that on me.
The guy's a year into his NFL career. He's one of the youngest players in the league still. That's unfair to put that on him now.
Don't put
Come
that
on now. Let's see how the next year plays out.
I don't
It's not trending in a great direction, but let's see what the next year is.
Yeah, I don't want that kind of pressure. I didn't say that. Let it be known. I didn't say that.
There you go. There's your answer. To your bet. Oh, that's a different person. Someone else. Cody's going to have 10 different FAU bets this year.
All the FAU bets I won. Someone says FAU with 5 sacks. I lose $25 to the show. I win. Cody can't sing for another 30 days. Oh, no. Then I'm into October. Well, technically, it would be after the season.
I mean, I like that one.
I'll think about it. I mean, a can't sing thing went for like $80 for charity.
Theoretically, put your money where your mouth is, Cody. If you don't believe in FAU that much, then do it.
I'll comb through these. I see some bets coming through. I will choose the one that seems appropriate.
By the way, Nick Bolton spoke just a second ago, said he's 100% ready to go for this.
Well, breaking news. Breaking news right there, baby.
Best shape of his life?
Yeah, he is ready
to go.
He has a chance to earn himself some money.
He is 100% going into the season, which is good to hear, obviously.
That is. No, that is very good.
Chiefs are actually relatively healthy.
The reason why I'm knocked on wood is because last year, 2 days before the Thursday night game, suddenly Travis had a bone bruise in his knee.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's pump the brakes here. But sure. I feel you.
At the moment, they're going into the season.
That is a fact.
Pretty healthy.
Except their number one. Except their number one. Number
I said pretty healthy.
Except their number one, number two receiver is going to miss week one.
But at least it's a, you know, he didn't have a torn ACL.
Well, neither did Travis Kelce in week one. The good news is Kelce and Chris Jones are trending towards being available. Yeah,
correct.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending, then right back into the Royals, who are just a game out of first place. One thing we can fully declare on this show, we'll tell you what that is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.